And hello to everybody today on this beautiful day. It is the 31st of July. Oh my God, tomorrow is April Fool's. Who knows what'll happen tomorrow? But it's a good day today, and I'm back from a most remarkable time in Cabo San Lucas with a wonderful group of people in my workshop of DNA activation and an ocean full of beautiful beings. Cetaceans everywhere. It was wonderful. I'm back in full energy mode and ready to burn the wires with my guest today, who is a kindred soul and a fellow healer. What I love about him is that he comes from traditional medicine to the alternative world. So he brings that wisdom and experience into his work as an alternative healer, thinker. A very interesting person. His name is Dr. Joseph Mara, and I want to welcome him to Beyond the Matrix. Hello, Dr. Joseph. How are you?
I'm doing fine. Thank you for having me.
Thank you for being here. Thank you for all the good work you're doing. I see that you were a doctor of nursing practice and had an established practice in Pennsylvania called the Urgent Care Center until recently.
Yes, you know, sometimes we have to go where our heart leads us. And up to that point, and that was June 30th of last year, 2011. And I kind of sold my house and I sold my business, the buildings, everything. And I just moved out west here to New Mexico. And I was just kind of led here. And instead of doing what everybody else wanted me to do, I wanted to do something for me. And of course, those around me, my family and friends, were a little more in fear, and they were like, well, what are you going to do? How are you going to survive? And to me, it wasn't even anything. It was just like, hey, I'm going, just because it just felt right.
Well, I'm glad it did. You know, I have a dear friend who I think is listening, Dr. Dan, and he's going through the same question, and that is, it's time to get out from under the pressure beyond anything else that the medical community is under now from the pharmaceutical companies. And you know that there's a little sarcasm in that concept. I'm sure we'll delve into it. But yeah. How to turn your experience into a way of really helping people to be well and not be medicated. And I'd like you to address that as we go through the hour.
Wow, yeah, you know, you touched on the pharmaceutical companies, but one of the things that really drives, at least in America, is Medicare. And it sets the stage for all the other insurance companies, so they have to follow suit. And they dictate what will be covered for what the practitioner, say, prescribes or orders. And for instance, patients have come in to me, and they've, torn a muscle, say their quadricep. And you can tell just by the physical exam and the history that it was torn. And to prove it and to help the surgeon repair it, they require an MRI. Well, the insurance companies will not cover an MRI unless you get an X-ray first. But X-rays don't show soft tissue. It shows bone tissue. So I'm not looking for a broken bone. I know it isn't broken. I know they have a tear because when they stand there and they try to support weight on that particular leg, they go right to the ground, for instance. So to me, it's a waste of the patient's time, my time, and the insurance companies. I guess the people on the other end of the line there that have to have these pre-approvals, they're not really medically trained, and there's nothing, I'm not saying anything bad about them. It's basically, it's their job, but they look at a binder, and I've actually heard them flipping through, and they say, well, because of this protocol, you have to do this, this, and this before we approve this. So, you know, there's so much that's going on in traditional medicine that really prevents the quality of care that patients really need. And that's just one example.
Well, in fact, I live in Italy, and I've been here for 28 years. And when they were talking about Obamacare in America, I was like, people, you so don't want this because, yeah, great, we all pay for socialized medicine here, but don't get sick because the protocol, people have told me they've got like pneumonia and they're waiting 5 weeks to get their any kind of X-rays or chest treatments or whatever because there's a waiting list. And I'm like, hello, this system doesn't work. So right. I've been hearing from a few people who are like you, doctors, and very, very disgruntled doctors about what's happening to the medical industry. And I would love, before we go on to the great work you're doing now as a hypnotherapist and healer, and I know you're also a Reiki master, but as you leave that part of your life commitment to help to healing at the medical level, tell us more about what's really coming down now with these protocols and the system that supposedly is supposed to leave no sick person behind.
Well, to be honest with you, I was so frustrated with the reimbursements and or lack thereof. And it's not all about the money, but it's not a fair system for anybody involved. Other, you know, and here the taxpayers are supposed to, not just taxpayers, but people that are employed that are paying into the insurance companies. They're paying for this treatment through their employment, but they're not getting the quality of care that they think they need. And they're correct because we are, again, there's a standard of care that we have to go by that's set in this country by the AMA. And a lot of it has to do with these bigger corporations, like you talked about, the pharmaceutical company who pays for or funds the research. And unless you know how to read research, they can manipulate the numbers statistically to make it look like it's a good quality study when in fact, you know, it favors the use of the drug. And if you really dig in and you look at it, where it was located, how many people were in the study. I mean, if it's a study that only had five people in it, that's really not a good outlook of the total whole of the population. But most people don't know how to look at the research. So the pharmaceutical companies will come in, the representatives, and they'll be pushing a medicine and say, look, this particular trial showed that there was improvements in this, and therefore you should use our drug. Well, you know, when you really learn how to read the research, then and only then will you understand whether it's a good study, whether it's not. And basically they come in and they kind of blow smoke and it makes it look good on glossy. And a lot of times the physicians don't have enough time to really spend talking with that particular person. You're in between patients and they come in for 5 minutes and they'll do something that's memorable to you that in most cases, well, I won't say most, but in some cases, you start to use the medicine just because of what they come in and told you. But, you know, and I can say that I may have fallen into that trap a few times early on, but later on, I found that I wouldn't even use a medicine unless it's been 6 months to a year out. So I could see if there's any side effect that I wasn't going to be at least treating my patients with and having them have ill effects from something that was new on the market. But that was my own kind of policy.
But wouldn't you agree now that you're doing so much holistic healing that most of the medicine that's out there is harmful to the people?
Well,
I mean, let's be truthful.
It is. It is. It just, it basically is. And, you know, just to go back, when I closed my own practice, at that point, I had to really search within and say, boy, should I do traditional medicine anymore because of what I know? And some of this has to do with belief and thought becomes reality type thing. So if a patient comes in and they think that they need their antibiotic or they're not going to heal, a lot of times these patients stay sick because that's what they think. And this gets into quantum physics and all these other kinds of things. But just to be basic about it, that's why the placebo effect really works, because thought becomes reality. If you think that you're going to take a pill and it works for you, then it does. However, some of these things have side effects to them. So you may have fixed the initial problem, but genetically in your DNA, at a molecular level, it also affects things in a negative way. So when I moved to New Mexico, I wasn't going to practice traditional medicine anymore. And because I was like, well, I just don't believe in it. I don't agree with it and all these other things. But then I had another thought that was like, well, you know, the people that truly believe in this system or believe that that's who they have to go to a doctor to heal, otherwise they won't be healed. I can help those people still, but also offering them alternative means of treatment other than medicine. So again, if I'm practicing at a clinic, they may not allow me to practice the hypnotherapy or the energy medicine there at that particular clinic, but I can still offer it to them outside of that facility at my own place. And that's basically the transition I'm kind of into. I really think that I've come here this time, this lifetime, is to help transition medicine out of what it is into something that's a lot better. Is that the best way I can describe it?
That sounds good to me. So you are still working then as a physician while you are developing new ways of healing?
Well, again, I haven't worked since June until about 3 weeks ago. I took a position where I'm only working 2 days a week, Thursdays and Fridays. And since I've been there, everybody, the staff that's there, all the nurses and the LPNs and the managers, they've been listening to me. They were actually really curious about these other things that I do. And they're really researching my websites. And in fact, Thursday, one of the girls that was working there asked me to treat her son through energy medicine because he's tried everything else and they just haven't found anything that really worked. So they're open to it. So just by my presence being there, I think it's going to help change at least the paradigm of, oh, this is all we have is traditional medicine. There's nowhere else to go. What else can we do? I'm offering that what else can you do type of a thing in a small way that I think is going to, you know, I'm hoping we'll transition into something more.
What do you say to the fact? Well, let's talk about Codex Alimentarius and the pressure that the holistic and alternative fields are feeling with the government trying to shut down alternative everything. How do you see that as being an obstruction for the work that you're embarking on?
Yeah, I see it. I think that all that is going to come to an end this year. All the control and the powers that be that have been controlling the planet, with my research and with my travels, there's a bigger picture to this whole thing other than what we're talking about in just medicine. I mean, globally, across the board, there's just so much that's being controlled and held back from the public. And all that I really, really think is going to change real soon. And I mean within weeks, if not days. And so the paradigm we all live in right now, I think it's going to change. I think it's for the better. Depending where your perspective is, though, is where what you're going to feel the effects of. If you're totally in fear and you're following the doom and gloom scenarios, then guess what? Again, thought becomes reality. That's what you attract to yourself because of the law of attraction. But if you're on a positive timeline or a positive path and you're trying to make a difference and you're trying to help humanity or this earth or everybody involved, then guess what? You're going to have a good experience and you're going to see things as, oh, there's going to be a financial collapse. Well, good. You know what? That'll mean that there's a reset and the control and the power and the people that have the power. Does any of that make sense?
Well, yeah, that's what my work is about, too. In one of my books, all of my books talk about how we are in what they call the desert days. And this is a transitional phase of difficulty before we go into the next cycle we all know is the great shift that we are on now. And I agree with you completely that this is in the works, and that what we're seeing, what we're looking at, some of us are looking at as a breakthrough, and some of us are looking as a breakdown. Right. And regardless, the shift is in the works, and we are in these days. And I'm excited personally. I'm ready for it to shift, more than ready, as I believe many are. And once we get through this gloom and doom Holocaust mindset, we are headed to some really miraculous experiences on this planet. Anyway, we have miraculous experiences every day because we're alive. The miracle of being alive is already something that we have to remember to appreciate.
Right.
Absolutely. So you speak of in a couple of days or weeks. What are you talking about, the financial collapse, so-called collapse you mentioned?
Yeah, you know, everybody, I don't even want to call it that because that is a negative connotation, but I think that the financial system that we are currently in, and I don't just mean America, I mean globally, how we trade and how the money is controlled through the Fed and all this stuff, that is all going to change. And I think that, you know, there's going to be a transition, just like anything else, when you're moving into a new avenue of finances or anything like that, there's a transitional phase. So I don't see it as being like very, very, very traumatic. I just think that it's necessary for one in order for us to move out of this. Something has to happen to wake people up. I think the majority of the people on the planet, even though people are waking up more and more and doing their own research now, it's still, I think we've reached the tipping point where we're ready to go. And the people that haven't prepared or haven't allowed themselves to open their eyes and see what's right before them, they're the ones that are going to be in shock and need some guidance. And people like yourself that have written the books and have this knowing will be guiding them and saying, look, this is natural. This is going to be for the best, is the best way that I can. But I really think that something has to, the way we say it, collapse. I really think it has to change in order to make a better, I mean, how bad can we get? I mean, how much lower can we go? I don't see that we're going any lower. I think that real, real, real soon, things are going to change. It's already changing. If you look at the people that are retiring from the financial corporations, I mean, it's just amazing. And when you look at the signs, you're seeing that it's right before us. It's almost like once that first domino falls, it's all just going to go haywire, and you're just going to have to hang on to your seat and just watch how significant the changes are going to be.
I agree. I think that one of the places to be looking is the Monsanto experience, and how no matter how hard they insist on imposing this GMO food and all these toxic ideas on the population, more and more countries are saying no. More and more people are saying no. More and more demonstrations of them not being able to put that into effect are being displayed by the rebellion of human consciousness.
Right.
And that is very exciting because people are not going to lie down and take GMOs. We've got Hungary. I think France just said no to GMO corn. Hungary said get out. India said get out. And this was part of the agenda for global takeover.
Right.
Certainly part of the Codex Alimentarius.
Yeah, you know, go ahead.
No, you please go ahead.
This story is so big that in 1 hour radio show, it's difficult to cover all the aspects of how humanity from the beginning has been controlled and dumbed down. I mean, we could talk about foods. We can talk about chemtrails. We can talk about the educational system. We can talk about religions. I mean, on and on and on and on and on. And the deeper you dig, the more information that's factual that you find. But a lot of people just truly want to stick their head in the sand because it is, you know, from a fearful perspective, if you look at it that way, it could be scary. It's like, oh my God, well, what can we do? Well, that's basically what I like to go out and teach about. It's like, look, each individual person can do their own thing by working on themselves and going within, raising their vibratory frequency, and that starts a domino effect. And those who walk your path or you run across, you help to raise their consciousness just in an energetic way that even though we can't see it, doesn't mean it don't exist. I mean, within our paradigm of vision, if you want to look at it this way, I mean, there's a small area that we can see with the visible light. And on each side of it, there's like X-ray and infrared and ultraviolet on both sides of what the human being can see. But just because we can't see it doesn't mean it doesn't exist. And that's where we get into quantum physics and, you know, wave form and string theory. And it starts that you can start tying all this stuff together. It's all related. And same with consciousness.
Yes. And, you know, of course, we will be probably be able to find time to get to a discussion of the quantum field or what you could call the consciousness field. But we're always talking about the same thing, and that is awakening to the reality that we are multidimensional beings and that, like you say, the tunnel of consciousness of perception of what humans believe they can perceive is utterly so limited to the light spectrum. And yet we know that there's so much more. We feel it. We are multidimensional beings.
Right.
It's just that a lot of people still don't get that and still don't know how to apply that to their perception of what life is.
Yeah, you know, other things with the physicalness of the human body. Well, let me just back up. I mean, first define the human body or humanity, I guess is the best way. A lot of people just look at us as physical beings and that's it. But when you add the total complexity of humanity, there's the mind, there's the physical body, there's the spirit body, there's the emotional body, there's the energy body. And when you start to look into each one of these, and then you start to, I don't want to say define, but you start to quantify it. And then all of a sudden, we are multidimensional beings because you can't have one without the other. And it's the same with the universe, as above, so below. So, you know, people don't realize that there are general rules within the universe that it's just, well, the best way I can say is universal, like DNA. You can take, DNA from the liver and create a pancreas if you are, say, a geneticist, because all the codes are with all the parts to the whole are within just a single part. It's like I'm trying to think of how the best way to describe this. The universe is the same way energetically with a template, and I think our templates here in this 3D reality that we all live in, I think the energetic templates come from a higher dimension, and it's kind of superimposed in this dimension, if that makes sense.
Yeah, so this is a very interesting area you've gone into. I'm very curious. Do you suggest then that a liver cell can be re-educated to function as a, let's say, stomach cell by interference with its genetic information?
I wouldn't say that it would get trained. I would say the genetic material or the information is the best way to put it is within. So if, say, the brain cells, if you take a brain cell, the DNA of a liver cell, of skin cell, or anything else is within there. That encoding was within that particular cell. So as above, so below. The part is, or the whole is within the part. And let me go back. There was a scientist. I think he was a Russian scientist. Okay, and his name was Semyon Kurlian, and he began his research in like the 1940s. And basically, what he did, he was using electrophotography, and so he took a leaf. All right, he cut this leaf in half. Well, first of all, he took a picture of the leaf and it showed an aura field around it or an energetic field around it with this photography. He cut the leaf in half and then took a picture of half of a leaf. Well, what surprisingly happened was electrophotography, it showed the entire leaf instead of just the half. So energetically, it looks to us like, well, here it is right there on a photograph, that the whole is within the part. And so, you know, I really think within medicine, we've always wondered, like, why do our patients have these phantom leg pains when they've had an amputee? Well, all of a sudden you look at it in energy and it's like, wow, if that energetic template is still there, even though we can't see it because the mass or the physicalness isn't there, they're still perceiving it because energetically their whole leg is still there.
So the energetic imprint is being communicated to the nervous system that it still exists.
Exactly.
So when the person feels the pain, they actually can describe it as coming from the foot, even though the foot is missing?
Yes, like many, many, many times.
That's very wild.
Yeah, well, you know, they have above the knee amputee, but they can feel their big toe is in pain.
That's awesome, isn't it?
Yeah. And that's what I'm saying. Nobody's really ever described that to me before, but the research I've been doing really suggests that from at least energetically, it suggests that the entire object is present within all the parts.
So what does that tell you as far as the healing of the other energy bodies? In other words, if you can still feel a part of the physical body that is no longer there, what does that say to us about healing the very levels of being that you described a few minutes ago?
Well, the way I look at the human body is we perceive it as physicalness in this reality, in this three-dimensional reality, okay? And 4D, which this is basic science right now that we're talking about. 3D is if you step forward or backwards, left or right, up and down. That's your three-dimensional reality that we're in. If you add time to it, now it becomes a fourth dimension. But with string theory, they're suggesting that there is as much as 11 dimensions. And again, just because we can't see it doesn't mean it doesn't exist. So energetically, the way I look at the universe and everything, I'm talking everything, the desk that you're sitting at, the chair that you're on, the rocks, the plants, everything is energy, but in these lower dimensions, it becomes more dense. So we perceive it in such a way here in this reality because basically we're limited to these five senses to perceive our reality with. Okay? And the reason, my rationale for that is, I know that I've come into this lifetime to experience life. And if I knew that I was a godlike being or that I could be wherever I wanted to be, if I didn't have these blinders on, I wouldn't want to stay in this dense dimension. I can tell you right now, I'd be flying right back to heaven. Or
I'll drink to that.
You know what I'm saying?
Indeed.
So just to kind of give people a heads up, they're like, well, why would you decide to do that? Why would you limit yourself? Well, I know darn well why I limited myself, because I wouldn't want to be here.
Well, but, you know, that's another interesting point, and that is that so many people don't believe there's anywhere else to be. So this is one of the, let's say, the spiritual questions that a lot of people are facing right now. The ones who don't believe there is life after death, or before death, or any other dimensions, and are so addicted to the physical, what they believe is the physical lifetime,
right.
It's because they don't believe there's anything else. So, you know, that is a question of facing your own mortality or immortality, and it must be, I bleed for people who have no awareness or contemplation even of the wonder of their next journey, because I certainly do have that belief, and it's a great comfort to know, to always know that this is just a passing point, and I'm on to my next adventure with joy and celebration when it's time.
Absolutely. And, you know, I just want to go back real quick here while we're on the topic of energy. And the scientist that I was telling you earlier about with the leaf, he took a picture of an apple, okay? He cut this picture up into 50 pieces. He took a piece of this, the 50 pieces of the apple, and by passing a laser light through this, it created the entire apple. So to me, it's like, again, it's a template. All the parts are within the whole and vice versa. Everything is connected that way, if that makes sense.
Well, sure. I had the pleasure of knowing Marcel Vogel. Do you know of him?
No.
Marcel Vogel was the genius who created liquid silicate for computer chips for IBM, became a millionaire working with liquid crystal, and decided that his real calling was something like you. His real calling was serving humankind and the planet. So he began to work with crystals and energy. And in that passing to the point where he eventually became a crystal healer, he did experimentation on plants because he wanted to, like Curly, and he wanted to investigate the physical, biological, spiritual life of plants as well. So he did experiments where he hooked up plants in the laboratory. I think he bought two identical plants, placed them in the same identical environment, same soil, hooked them up to encephalograms, and he would do things to the one plant, like cut a piece of the leaf off, and the other one would exhibit a shot of emotion or some kind of reaction
right
at the time of the cutting.
Yeah. You know what? Now that you mentioned, familiar with this particular person. I didn't know his name, but yeah, I did hear about that. And even with a thought, these plants would pick up. Like if you were thinking in your mind, like, I'm going to burn this plant, all of a sudden it would show on the tool that he was using, the franticness of the, I'm trying to think of how the best way to put it over the air here. There would be a definite response from the plant on paper, in other words, and it showed a wave.
The monitor.
What's that?
He was using a monitor, an encephalogram.
Yes.
And then he did, because he was like, okay, and this is so many years ago before the quantum scientists really got cooking. He wanted to remove himself as much as possible from the experiment. So he devised a machine that would do the, let's say, the cutting, so there wasn't that human imprint involved in the aura of the plant. And he developed a machine that would drop an egg into boiling water. This, by the way, Dr. Vogel was working at the Stanford Research Psychic Research Institute. He developed a machine that dropped an egg into the water, of boiling water, and when the egg landed in the water, the plant, again, would scream in some sort of painful reaction on this monitor.
Right.
So these are sort of the, not maybe the first experiments into the quantum reaction or the quantum field, but certainly very important contributors to our understanding now of the interconnectedness of everything.
Absolutely. That was what I was just going to say. And because things, this is all part of the dumbing down thing, because everything was compartmentalized, nobody put the pieces to the puzzle together. So that was my mission. I just knew there was so much more to human existence in this planet from early on. And I had to kind of do my own research, because you weren't educated in school, so to speak, with any of these alternative theories or with what's truly going on. Like, I always wanted to know, what is the truth? So interviewing all these people from all walks of life, lawyers, nurses, doctors, I developed a radio show called Universal Talk. And the reason I did that is I needed a platform to speak my truth, because I just started finding all these new things out. And I thought, oh my gosh, people just are asleep like I was. And I really wanted to help wake people up or help them remember that we are multidimensional beings and we are so much more. And that's the biggest secret. We are so much more powerful than we've ever given ourselves credit for. But on top of that, collectively, we are a force to be reckoned with. And that's what's going on right now. People are standing up. They're taking back their power. And I guarantee you, this year is going to be monumental in the changes that's going to happen within the next several weeks to months.
Okay, come on. You keep hinting at something. What do you envision is going to occur?
Well, the scope is so big that, you know, you can't even imagine how things are going to change. But I don't like to give predictions over the air, because for one, thought becomes reality. And if people see it in a negative way, that's what's going to be drawn to them. So I want people to know that when I speak, I'm all about positive. I'm all about
so
change.
So am I.
Great. And in the past, I had these gut feelings, and I would predict something major would happen, and I'd even give the month, and to me it felt like an earth change or something, and then it would happen. And you could go back and look at this if you wanted to on various radio shows I've done, but I just don't like to add that to the consciousness field. I just like to prepare people, though, and say, look, just prepare yourself, because there are some awesome changes. Don't look at it as negative. And just welcome the change, because we have so much potential and we can do so many things. But again, we've been dumbed down and told we can't. So again, thought becomes reality. If you think you can't do something, then guess what? You can. And there's lots of research into this with the placebo effect and all this other stuff. But if you want me to give you some tidbits of what I think is going to happen, I will.
Yes, I would like to preface it by saying that my audience is most likely a very positive audience. They've heard me come out with every possible thing that I believe about the power structure on this planet and how we are the change that we hope for this planet. And so I don't think that anything that you can say is going to put anybody in discomfort. If anything, it helps people to contemplate and consider how they are part of the change and what they're going to be doing when these things start to unfold.
Right. Well, again, there's going to be a transitional phase. First, what I really think is going to happen, one of two things. I think that there's going to be a financial change, and I'm going to say it as a change instead of a collapse because people run in fear, you know, to the mountains and all that stuff. But I really think that there's going to be globally, and it might start in one country, but then it, of course, what affects one, it affects all. It's as above, so below. And that's one thing that's going to happen. Two, I'm not sure if this is just going to be in the transitional. I really think it is. I think that there's probably going to be some communication issues, like as far as like our communications, like radio and internet and things like that. I don't see it as being bad, though. I think it's just kind of it's all part of the reset process, because people who control the planet also control the media, and things like what you and I are talking about aren't mainstream right now. And people are out there going, well, I don't see it. I don't see that going. You know what? Open your eyes. Do the research for yourself. Don't listen to the television, CNN, and all these other broadcasting. They're owned by the powers that be. And that's another thing that's going to change. Within a short period of time, the powers that be are not going to have the money and or the control that they have once had, because of all this other stuff that we can get into later, like the white hats and these higher dimensional beings, and if you want to call it God or the angels, the masters, they are here to assist us. Because this was a free will world or realm, they couldn't step in until enough of us took our power back. And I think that's what happened. We've reached the tipping point. As you said earlier, people are standing up and they're not laying down and not taking this crap anymore, because you know it's not right. We are sovereign beings, and we don't deserve this. I mean, we have a God-given right to have our necessities met on this planet, and there shouldn't be one person that has poverty. And to look at it and see it for what it truly is, open your eyes, and each individual person can make just a subtle change that just goes out into the whole universe energetically. It's hard to see, but eventually people are going to see it for what it is, and I'm telling you, it's going to be soon, real soon.
I think it's very exciting to understand that we've been in a phase of, in many ways, and of course we're speaking in glittering generalities because so many people work on so many different levels, but for so long we have been discovering our own gifts, working on our own techniques, living very isolated lives as far as the world and how we perceive it around us. And in these years of starseed arriving on this planet and people awakening to the energies of change that we're undergoing now, we are beginning to really understand that, again, we were talking about the quantum field, that what matters now is what we turn back out to the community, back out to the other, reaching out so that all human beings understand the magnificence of being alive. And no power structure, no medications, no control systems are going to be able to stop the flood of that much love over this planet.
No, I actually totally agree with you. And that's what this is about. It's a love movement, and the love vibration can't be stopped, as you say. There's nothing more powerful in the universe than love. And depending on the person's perspective of love, some of us think of love as, well, okay, I'm with my husband, and as long as he does this, then, okay, I love him. Well, that's conditional love. The love you and I are talking about is unconditional love, without fear, without doubt, without judgment. It just is what it is. It's cosmic, and as it comes through this dimension and wakes people up to who they truly are, and people start loving one another and respecting one another. All the bad stuff, all the bad guys, the wars, all that crap, truly, and I mean truly, go away. And we can live in this this world. But I'm not telling you it's going to happen in an instant. Like a lot of people claim that, you know, December 21st, 2012, that's the day that everything is just going to turn.
No.
We're already in it now. The changes are before, and we're doing it. So, you know, just.
I have to laugh because I hear your words and it's like they're coming out of my mouth. And we are so, so tuned in on the same vibration and even the same concept. Another thing, Dr. Mara, is what I'm observing. I am a vegetarian for 28 years now and quite an advocate of that. And I am seeing the animals interact with the human race, with each other, crossing over species lines nonstop, and with the human race. And I'll give you an example. I just saw something on the net where this bull was going to slaughter somewhere in Asia. And he was up against the wall. They were trying to pull him to the slaughter block. And he started to cry. And he cried real tears. He cried so hard he had red bloodshot eyes, red rings around his eyes from crying. Yeah. And one of the guys in this slaughterhouse saw and walked over and called the others and said, this bull is crying. Can you dig this?
Right.
And they were so taken aback by this that they called off the slaughter. They found a monastery that would take the bull, and they saved his life. And they said, the article said that when they told him, okay, please stop crying, we're not going to kill you, he stopped crying and followed them, whereas before he had been resisting, they couldn't pull him over. Right. And these stories are more and more circulating. That another one was a bullfighter in Spain. Did you happen to see that information?
No.
He was in the middle of the arena fighting this poor bull who had at least six of those swords in his back. And he looked at the bull and he sat down on the edge of the ring and he started to cry. This man makes me cry to think about it.
Yeah.
And the bull walked over to him and somebody caught a picture of this. The bull looks at him as if to say, why are you doing this? Why are you torturing me? Why do you want to kill me? And I celebrate this. I think that, I'm sorry, it makes me very emotional.
Right.
It seems that it's not only the human race that's getting this. The whole planet is interacting in this love vibe. The awakening is not limited to the human race. Yes. Do you agree?
Yes. I'm with you on this. Everything, as we talked about earlier, everything is energy. So we're inundated right now at this particular time because the universe works in cycles. And we're just going through the end of a cycle. All the love energy that's being emitted from the center of our galaxy, this black hole, from other planets, from higher dimensional beings, whether we can see them or not, they're there. Everything is coming in and being influenced. And I'm talking everything. I'm not just talking about humanity. I'm talking about the first, second, third dimensions, like the rock formations, the plants, the animals, all of it. It's all growing. That's what this ascension process is about. So I don't think we're in 3D anymore. Like I've been saying 3D just so everybody understands. I think we've already transitioned into a 4D reality, but we're still playing out the 3D roles and games and things like that. So sometimes it sounds like I contradict myself because it depends on who you're talking to and where their awareness is how you explain things. Because sometimes
feel free to go ahead because I'm with you. We speak the same language.
Okay. All right. So basically, what you're talking about is everybody and everything raising in a conscious awareness. That's what it is. We have this consciousness field that's all around the planet that we're all tapped into, and we also have an individual consciousness because of how we've been raised and brought up. And that's why there's such a diversity with people explaining things, because again, we have these five senses that are filters, and depending how we've been raised or we grew up or we've been educated will kind of influence how you portray what you know. So basically we're saying the same thing in a different language, maybe, but it's all the same. We are all ascending, and everything energetically is raising. And really, how we should start living our lives right now, today, what can people do is live with compassion. You don't know what that poor person down the street, you don't know their story. You weren't there. You don't know if they were sexually abused. So don't judge them. see them in true compassion and love them and maybe smile. That's all it takes sometimes, is just a smile or a hello. And so go within, live from your heart, not from your head. We've been taught to learn or to live life from the head, not the heart. And that's another thing that's really important to get across to people who are listening. Start living from the heart. What feels right to you? Not logically what makes sense.
Yeah, I see a lot of people still struggling with that left brain conditioning. But more and more people, and even a lot of men now, are being able to really release themselves from the programming and really be in heart consciousness, which is a very exciting part of what our experience is now.
Right.
And I also wanted to add that when we were talking about all consciousness, let's not forget that Earth herself is a conscious being.
Yeah,
so as we talk about the animals and all the layers, the Earth is a cosmic conscious being. She feels, yeah. She thinks, she dreams, she astral travels. She's just like us,
right.
Only bigger.
Well, again, as above, so below. So what's happening on the planet is happening to us. So as we were talking about the whole being and all the parts, it's the same with us. So I picture the Earth as a human body almost. And we are the little cells that are in or on the body. And, you know, there are areas of the Earth that are lower vibrational. And so when you see these things like hurricanes or tornadoes, it's just basically her washing herself of that negativity. Like when we have appendicitis, we have a surgeon go in and take it out because it's dis-ease. That's where the word disease comes from. There's a dis-ease somewhere that needs alleviated or removed. So I look at her as I look at the human body. And we could either be little cancer cells that basically for the past decade we've been destroying our own body, our own mother who takes care of us through the atmosphere, through the food, through the water that's provided. But we don't see it that way, though. And I think that it's important to convey that to the population, that you need to change your perspective, and what you've been taught isn't exactly the truth.
I have to say mildly. I have a question for you, and I would really relish your positive take on it, and that is, I'm very concerned about the radiation that's pouring out of Japan with no relief in sight, and what this means for the global population for health. Now, of course, I agree that we create our reality, and yet I am concerned that this blanket of radiation is, it looks to me like a deliberate attempt to really do some damage to the Earth. And I'd like to know, from your medical experience, what do you suggest to people besides, of course, not being in fear and using their consciousness to rise above the fear. But still, what do you suggest? How do you feel about this, and what do you suggest about it? Because nobody wants to talk about this.
Yeah.
And I just...
Yeah. Let me just, before I answer that, I want to add to what you said earlier about the men becoming more open and getting away from the brainwashing, if you will.
Yes.
It's because the energy that's flowing right now is a feminine energy. And
we've
been stuck in a masculine energy up until this point. And now this transition we're talking about is more feminine. And the more, and again, as above, so below, you have masculine energy and you have female energy, and the same with myself. Once we balance that within ourselves and the world balances it, that's when we're going to have this global peace and love and all this stuff. So I thought it was important to say that, you know, maybe people could kind of look at that aspect of what's going on today. Now, as far as the nuclear fallout and the radiation, you know, the planet, she has a way of being able to clean herself up, like we were talking about. And humanity also is resilient. Everything that we've been exposed to up to this point, I mean, at the smallest things, like the cosmetics that the women use, or even men, the foods that we eat, these chemtrails that people you'd have to be blind not to see them. I mean, I haven't seen them more recently because of this change that's going on and these people that are helping us from higher dimensions. The waters, with the chemicals, the medicine, all this stuff has been meant to, kind of annihilate the human population or right. to depopulate. And we already know this through the Georgia Guidestones and the whistleblowers that have come out. But I truly wouldn't focus my attention because, as I said earlier, what you focus your attention towards is what you draw closer to yourself. And when you have a love vibration, you raise above and beyond the dis-ease that can occur to you no matter what is presented to you on this planet. And if you feel good, that's the biggest key thing. Anytime there's a disease in the body, I don't care what it is, if you feel low about yourself or if you say, I don't like this part of my body, a lot of times you'll generate a negativity there or a blockage. So
yes.
With my personal opinion, we could get into medicine, but I think I'd be doing an injustice to the world by talking about it in such a linear way when I know we all have the ability to rise above. And that's another part of the fear. When the powers that be, that's how they control us through fear. It lowers our vibratory frequency, which allows us to have disease and allows us to question ourselves, at least in our minds. And again, we need to live from the heart. We have discernment about us. It was a gift given to us, or it's something we brought with us, however you want to look at it. And could nuclear fallout or radiation affect us? If you don't focus on it, you'll either be drawn away from it, or it'll totally dissolve around you, or you'll be brought to the right place at the right time. Somebody will send you some kind of natural herb or like miso tea or soup. The way it works is what you put out is what you get back. So don't focus so much on the fear.
Right. But let's also remember that it's not only about what you put out and you get back, but what is happening around the planet, to the oceans, to the animals, et cetera. So you've got to put out that love all the way around the planet. And this is what we were talking about earlier. It's not just about you or me anymore. It's about everyone. So there needs to be a perpetual attention to the overall well-being. Yeah. Of all beings, all consciousness on this planet, and we all need to contribute to that.
Okay, so let me tell you how to do that. As I've been saying the whole time, thought becomes reality. People that go to a church to pray for a miracle that happens, it's not the church, the building, it's not the denomination of that church, it's the people in the church that create the miracle. And I said earlier yes. that one person is a very powerful individual. Collectively, we are a force to reckon with. So what happens is 20 people get in the church and have the same thought at the same time. It's a waveform that goes out, and that becomes what we perceive as a miracle. So like you're saying, globally, if more people, all you have to do is send your love and light to that area of the earth, and it will change, it'll heal, and it'll assist. And in fact, that's what many of us are here on this planet. It's not just for humanity, it's for the earth. Is to help her transition into this new age or this new, basically she wants to go back to her pristine state that she was originally. And that's what's going to happen. And humanity
right.
is a leap in evolution is the way I look at it.
Me too. I'm pretty sure we can call this the rebirthing of Gaia, and we have come here to be part of that.
Yes.
Unquestionably. All right, doctor. We are unfortunately out of time already. So before you go, I first of all want to thank you for your insights. And secondly, how do people reach you and learn more about your work and your programs, et cetera?
Well, I have a couple websites that I like to give out. One is universaltalk.info, and the other is aguidinglight.com. And the Universal Talk website goes back, and for those who are just waking up, it helps to put the pieces to the puzzle together to kind of put it all together and be like, oh, okay, now I see. because I have people on there from finance, from judges, lawyers, and people that were in the presidency. They know exactly what's been planned. But you know what? All those old plans are gone now. We've reached the tipping point. It's all positive. But to help wake you up to the awareness of where we were and the true history of humanity, it would be important to maybe peruse that site and listen to some of the interviews. And then okay. My website, aguidinglight, LITE.com, is basically it tells the calendar. It shows a calendar of who all I'll be speaking to, who I'll be interviewing on my new radio show, which I hope maybe you'll come on my show in the future.
I'd love to. We'll definitely book that. Thank you.
And it's a guiding light also, and it's on ATW Radio. So those are the couple things.
Fantastic. Okay, wonderful. You've been listening to Dr. Joseph Mara. He is a medical trained doctor turned healer turned wisdom keeper, a wonderful person who is out there helping rebirth Gaia, believing in great change, great light, and I celebrate his wisdom, and thank you for being on the show. Don't forget my England trip to the crop circles, talking about quantum fields. It's filling up fast, people. There's only 9 places left. It's in July. If you're interested, please check my site, SyrianRevelations.net. And for the rest, I send you my love, and I implore you, I dare you, I challenge you to think outside the box of convention and soar with the eagles in the free thought zone beyond the matrix. I'll be back with you in 2 weeks. My love surrounds you. This is Patricia signing out. Nanu, nanu.